Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Are we having a good time today? Yes, we are. We're having a great time today. We're going berserk today, as a matter of fact. We feel better than we ever felt in our whole lives. Well, what the heck? I can't dance during the show, not during the whole show. Well, what do you think? There's enough cardinal transits out there to sink the Bismarck, let me tell you. But you know what? Because I am one with God and one with the universe, I can overcome everything. No matter what happens, I remain to be happy and carefree and loving and whole and special for people out there that need me, and I need you. So thank you for being there. All right, so let's see what's going on today. Today we are going to continue with our topic from yesterday. Today's exciting topic is called the transiting planets through the houses. Yesterday we did a topic called the transiting moon through the houses. So today we're going to take a look at what it means, what the combinations of the different planets in the houses mean. And specifically speaking, not all people know what transits are. But we talked about yesterday this cosmic circuit that affects our cells and our bodies, that each and every tiny little cell of the trillions and trillions of cells that you have in your body, you have miniature universes in every one of those cells. It's called like the microverse. It's like cells are like reflections of, I don't know if you're aware of this, but all matter in this dimension has a relationship to the rest of the matter in this dimension, in case you didn't study physics. That's pretty much, I believe it's recognized. And astrologically, that perfectly works. Because when you're born, the matter in the body of the baby is literally a reflection. The cells in the body actually embrace the universe at that moment of birth. And because from our point of view here on Earth, the moving planets are the focus, are the key concerning this circuit pattern, then that truly and specifically is what astrology is all about. Because we actually walk around, we are tiny little universes. And that is why when the planets move in the sky, depending on what area of space they're in, it's a magnetic effect. See, because we have a magnetic circuit, an astrologically identified magnetic circuit in our cells, when the planets are moving through that universe, they're not only triggering magnetic force in this solar system, but they're triggering magnetic force in all these trillions of solar systems in our cells. It's kind of cosmic, I know, but at least it's fun, and we all know it works, so that's why it's interesting. Yesterday we talked about moodiness and how the moon triggers certain events in your life by going through the 12 houses of life, and I neglected to mention that it takes the moon only 28 days, maybe I did mention, but in a 28-day cycle approximately, does that sound familiar to you women, 28 days? Yeah, it takes the moon 28 days to go through all 12 houses of life and all 12 signs, so the moon will go through your chart approximately once a month and trigger every area in your life while doing that. The other planets have much different time calendars as far as how long they will stay in one sign and how long it will take them to go through all 12 signs. Now, I'm going to give you the timing on this right now, so for today's topic, in case you are curious as to how long it takes for a planet to stay in one of your houses and what it means, that's what we're going to explain to you today. Now, the planets that are between the Sun and the Earth, Mercury and Venus, because they are between the Sun and the Earth, actually are the fastest. They're called the inner planets, and frankly, from our point of view, they are in line with the Sun because they're going around the Sun. They're both going around the Sun like we are, but they're inside of our orbits. So, Mercury and Venus never really wander that far away from the Sun in location. For example, when you look at an astrology chart, you're going to find Mercury always one or two signs, maybe three signs the most, that far away from the Sun. And Venus, I'm not sure, I think it's about four or five signs maybe, maximum, or even less. But they never do wander that much farther away from the Sun. And frankly, they have a similar timing pattern as the Sun. In other words, they can stay in a sign like the Sun does for about 30 days. So where it takes the Sun about 1 year, 365 days to go through all 12 signs, all 12 houses in your chart, it takes Mercury and Venus both similar cycles, sometimes 10 months, sometimes 11 months, but usually by the year, they've both gone through all 12 signs. Now, As we start pulling away and getting farther away from the Earth, these planets take a lot longer to orbit around the Sun because they are much more farther away than Mercury, Venus, and Earth is from the Sun. So when we analyze the outer planets of Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Pluto, and Neptune in that order, we notice that the farther out you go, the longer it takes for them to go through one of our houses and then all 12 houses. So let's take a look at the timing here. Mars can stay in one of your houses for approximately 2 to 6 months. It takes Mars 2 full years to go through all 12 signs in the zodiac and therefore to finally go through all 12 houses in your chart. So Mars obviously can really create a lot of energy in your life because Mars is a planet of energy. Frankly, if Mars enters your 8th house like it is in my 8th house, and because the 8th house rules your passion and your sensitivity and your intimacy, all Libra risings are kind of feeling sort of like a mating season coming on because Mars in Gemini is in our 8th house. It's moving up to trine our ascendant. So it's a very exciting time if you're a Libra rising for that reason. And we'll talk about what all the effects of all the planets do. But whereas the Moon, because it rules emotions, it might make us feel sexy if it goes into our 8th house. Mars is an action planet, which actually initiates action. And we more than feel it with the Moon. With Mars, we want to initiate some action concerning what the house activity is. And for today's topic, I want you to know the key word for today's topic is combinations. Combinations. In other words, to understand what a transiting planet is doing to your life, meaning to understand what one of those planets in the sky is doing to your chart and therefore what its effects can be towards your life, you must understand the basic combinations that we're dealing with. In other words, astrology can be easy to understand. If you're somebody that takes the time to look at the planets, that there's 9 planets in our system, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. We live on Earth, so we're not concerned with that because it's not in our chart. It's not in the star chart. But if you just note each of the planets and you memorize a few key words that are attached to each planet, right, and then you know that there's only 12 houses of life, and we talked about those key words yesterday, what each one of the 12 houses means, which I will review for you, then basically, by knowing what the planet means, what the house means, and then if you combine the sign that the house is over or the sign that the house includes, we actually combine the sign energy, the house energy, and the planetary energy from the transiting or moving planet to understand why we're being focused in certain areas of our life. Now, I hope that's clear. And I know a lot of you beginners, you might have sat there and went, what? But anyway, the Astrology Hour, of course, is geared for the aware, evolved, advanced individual that sits there every day and goes, Farley, this is no problem. It's cool. I understand exactly what you're talking about. So anyway, let's take a look at some more of these timing situations. Jupiter is much farther away than Mars. I would say that the distance that Earth or Mars is to the Sun, Jupiter is a lot, I don't know exactly how far away it is, but it's like 4 or 5 times or something farther out. It takes Jupiter a full year to go one sign. The same 12 signs from our point of view that the Sun, Mercury, and Venus will go through from the Earth's point of view, it takes Jupiter 1 full year, approximately. Jupiter has been kind of hanging loose, hanging out in Taurus for a while, a little bit too long. Once in a while, it'll spend too much time in one sign and not enough in another. So for that reason, people with Jupiter and Gemini are being sort of cheated because the Jupiter and Gemini transit that's going on now is only going to last about 6 months or less. But on the average, it takes Jupiter 12 years to go through all 12 of your houses and 1 year to go through one sign. And wherever Jupiter goes, it expands. So if Jupiter goes into your house of appearance, you can gain weight and become funnier and happier and all those jovial Jupiterian things. Jupiter goes into your second house of money, you could get more money. You can make more money. See what I mean? Jupiter goes into your third house of the mind, lots of ideas. So wherever Mercury goes, we find a focus on mental activities, or we think about what's going on as far as the house and the sign significance where Mercury is transiting. Venus puts an accent on money, love, and women. Mars is that energy planet, and Jupiter expands. Is that cool? And you got to know your key words here for transiting planets, otherwise you may be out in the boat without a paddle here. Okay, now Saturn is even a whole lot more farther out than Jupiter. So it takes Saturn a long time to go around the sun, let me tell you. I mean, we're talking long time, like 28 years. The same course that the sun takes from our point of view. See, the Earth goes around the sun so fast that it only takes 1 year for the sun to pass through all 12 of our houses. But from our point of view, by the time Saturn goes through all 12 signs, it takes almost 30 years. And that's why when Saturn comes back to where it was when you were born, it says a lot. It's called a Saturn cycle, a Saturn return. It happens to everybody from age 28 to 30, and that's why people get hit so hard in their lives with adaptation, rebirth, and basic emotional problems when they're 28 to 30. When I was a youngster, they used to call it the generation gap, those under 30 and those over 30. Now we know it as a Saturn return. That's why before people turn 30, we know, well, you haven't been there yet. When you're 30, then you've been through a Saturn cycle. You've grown up by then. Now, Saturn is a planet that rules karma and lessons and growth through suffering. So just to continue with some more house explanations, like the fourth house being the home and being the residence and the mother, if you're dealing with a Saturn transit in that fourth house, and because Saturn stays in a house for 2.5 years, I want you to dig this because this is really intense. Now, that means you could have karma and problems and growth concerning fourth house activities, which would be the home. And who's having that right now? Well, that would be, it would be a lot of Libra risings. Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn. Because Saturn is in Capricorn now, Saturn is going into our fourth house for 2.5 years. Many of us, it's already entered. So many of us are having lots of karma and lots of lessons concerning fourth house transits and actually all of this residence stuff. So you take the planetary meaning and the sign it's in and also the house meaning and combine it to find out what the transit is. And Capricorn is also career. So in my life, when Saturn enters my fourth house, something's going to be going on with my residence, with my career, with my security and all that for 2.5 years. And I can't wait till that happens, right? Get out of my third house, then I won't feel like a cuckoo clock after a while here. So Saturn is really a heavy, heavy planet as far as teaching us what's wrong with our lives and helping us rebirth and correct it. Uranus and Neptune and Pluto are really intense because they're real slow burn planets and they have a tremendous gradual effect. It's like trying to work on a project that takes years and years for it to finish. Because Uranus takes 7 years approximately to go through one sign and 84 years to go through all 12 signs. And that's right, when the older folks reach 83, 84, 85, they have a Uranus return. And that's why my grandmother passed away when she was 83 during her Uranus return. I believe George Burns had his bypass then and had a second life after that. So a lot of the older folks have a rebirth or renewal. It's like a life or death, and that's why you see a lot of these folks over 83. They seem like very young at heart playing tennis and stuff because they've actually survived the Uranus return. And if they decide to stay and live on the dimension, then there could be a very youthful glow connected with that. Neptune, you know, we're starting to get far away from the sun and Earth now, folks. Neptune and Pluto are so far out that they take over 10 years each to go through one sign. So if you're looking at Neptune or Pluto in your chart, like if you're going through a Neptunian transit in your seventh house, because Neptune is in Capricorn, right, all Cancer risings are dealing with Neptune in their seventh house is marriage and partners and relationships. And because Neptune is an illuminating planet and it is very spiritual and it can be self-destructive, we find Cancer risings either illuminated and spiritual with their relationships or just wasting their lives and wasting themselves and self-destructing themselves because of heartache, heartbreak, or ends that just won't meet in relationships. So it's funny, the combinations are the key. If you get those combinations down, then you're really going to have it. Now also, the planet Uranus, the key for that planet is an awakener. It is a shocker. It is a lightning bolt effect. And it can either be a peaceful change, which can be overnight, or it can be sometimes a shock change. Like if you have Uranus going through your sixth house, which is Capricorn, and that would be probably Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sag, Capricorn. Leo risings, most of them have Uranus going through their sixth houses. The sixth house is the house of health and work. So Leo risings, because Uranus rules accidents, can be more accident prone during the 7-year cycle because Uranus is an accident planet in the house of health, so it could mean ill health in case of accident. So Leo risings should wear their seatbelts and be cautious with their lives and don't throw stones in glass houses. And also, because the sixth house is the house of work and work karma, Uranus in the sixth house could either mean a sudden surge in case it's being trined or sextiled by some of your earth planets in your chart, or it could mean a sudden loss of a job, like quitting or being fired, or some strange change in service concerning to your health and work. So following the planets through the houses is absolutely critical to understanding astrology, and it's easy because, you know, Pluto, Neptune, Uranus, and Saturn are going to be sitting in your houses for years. So getting those down is easy. It's like, hey, I know I've got Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn in Capricorn in my third house the last 3-4 years, and I've been going cuckoo-berg bonkers because that's in my house of mentality. The third house is the house of psychological balance, and I have been feeling crazy. I've been forgetting things, and I've been missing dates and deadlines, and just all kinds of weird things happen when you go through that effect. So all Libra risings, if they seem a little weird to you, that's really the reason why. So getting the key down to these effects, you know, the moon is the fastest. It takes 2.5 days to go through a house. And Sun, Mercury, Venus will be in one house for a month, and Mars from 2 to 6 months, and Jupiter for a year, and Saturn for 2.5 years per house. And so Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto can be watched a little easier. And frankly, when planets go through houses, there's what we call zones of influence in each house, which means when you start to really learn astrology, you're going to notice that as the planets go through the houses, they are going to either pick up trines or sextiles from other planets in your chart, when wonderful increases and gifts and expansion can happen in your life, a lot less pain, more comfort, or those transiting planets can enter zones where they'll pick up squares and oppositions to planets in your chart and quinxes, and that's when you are being shown something. Now, because there's nothing bad in astrology, when we go through the square and opposition transits, I love that, because that's when we wash and dry the laundry. That's when you throw out the garbage. That's when you let go of the bad and create the new, and also put yourself in a position to rebirth, transform, and get out of bad situations that are karmic and too painful. If you live through a transit, like say you're a person that has some Aries in your chart and some Libra in your chart that's being squared and opposed by Uranus and Capricorn, you have Mars and Aries post Saturn and Libra, and Uranus, the transiting Uranus, is in one of your houses setting up a T-square to that Mars-Saturn, where your marriage is bad. Your relationship with your husband is horrible. And in fact, he even screams at you, almost beats you, maybe does, doesn't give you enough money or enough freedom, and you just don't have the sense to get out of it, right? Well, during that transit, instead of experiencing the positive effects of the T-squared Uranus in your chart, the transiting T-squared Uranus, and getting out, what you do is you go through a karma mode, and you suffer, and you hope and you pray that you will overcome and get out of it, which usually never happens, because Uranus stays there for 3 to 5 to 7 years, and that's when we brutalize ourselves. Now, by knowing astrology, and knowing that part of your chart is lit up for that long of a time, by perhaps Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, or Pluto, then you're being given the option to be free, to be independent, to be self-sufficient, to raise your self-esteem, to raise your self-love, and to rise above it, like the phoenix from the ashes, and go forward with your life. Because too many people have transits where they're being shown in their lives that situations with individuals and career and family and relationships and such are not good. Sometimes it's important to cut off that relationship with your mother or your father. When you become 18, you're old enough to move out of the house, to get a job, to make your own money. The relationship with your parents has been that difficult, so move out for a while. Give them some space. Move to North Dakota for a couple of years, and maybe next time they see you, they'll appreciate you better. The transit will be over, and that way the relationship as a parent-child can improve. What some people try to do is they try to bang their heads against the wall during these tough transits, hoping that a miracle from God is going to save them, and Neptune square their Venus doesn't move. And Neptune still squares the Venus for 3-4 years, so you just end up going through a suffering mode. And that's why so many people end up running and getting depressed and lonely and get into alcoholism and drugs and cigarette smoking and pot smoking. And a lot of our children that are going through these tough transits. We don't have support troops in our families and in our peers as little children, and so no one's giving us the love and affection and the support. So when we have a heavy transit as a child, 9, 10, 11, 13, 14, 15, whatever, somebody ends up befriending us and charming us and manipulating us, right, into the world of drugs or premature sex, sexual relationships. And this is like an imitation or phony love or a situation that is not really healthy for us that can compound into serious, severe mental or emotional or psychological problem. We look at this in a worldwide perspective and we start to understand some of the crime, some of the misery, the poverty and the loneliness in this planet because people have not been able to handle their hard transits. When these planets are going through their houses for long periods, if Neptune or Pluto are going through your 12th house, if you're Aquarius rising and you've got Neptune in the 12th, or if you're Scorpio rising and you have Pluto going through your 12th house right now, and you don't have anybody to love you and help you and console you and support you and advise you to get out of a bad situation, you can end up institutionalized in jail. You end up breaking the law, hanging out with the wrong people with drugs and alcohol, or end up in a mental institution, whatever, and be in a position where you're cut off from society and no longer you have any freedom. And that's what happens. So understanding the meanings of these houses and the planets, and once again, the first house is the house of the self. And any planet in that house is going to be connected with you, getting along with you, relationship with number one. The second house is the values of the self and the money situation. The third house would be how the self thinks and communicates. The fourth house would be where the self lives and the self's emotions. The fifth house is the self's creative force, the family, its children, its innovation, its leadership potential. The sixth house is how the self serves and how the body of the self, the temple of the soul, is maintained. The seventh house is self reaching out to others, relating, negotiating, balancing, loving, forming commitment. The eighth house is an intimate connection of the self to the universe and to others, passion, sex, love, rebirth, regeneration, life and death. The ninth house is the self's philosophy, the self leaving the city and traveling beyond to higher realms, college, leaving home. The tenth house is the self's ambition and career. The 11th house is the self's goals and friends. And the 12th house is the self's garbage, its spiritual potential, and also self's enemies. See? So following the planets and knowing the meanings of the planets now with the meanings of the houses, and for example, if you have one of our transit forecasts or advanced transits and you notice we say, well, Venus 3, which means Venus is entering your third house, we'll give you a dating as to how long that'll last and a paragraph explains to you what that means. Isn't that fun? Now, the interesting part about this show is if you do take the show as a correspondence course, it's so exciting, it's magical, it's a phenomena, because after a while, after about 20, 30 shows, and after you've got our charts, you're so beside yourself because you know that you're rebirthing. It's like I lift you up out of your body and take you into a higher realm of consciousness. A lot of you that begin listening to this show confused, when you have patience, after a few months, you say, wow, now I've got it. When I hear these intense topics that blew me away at the beginning, I know what he's talking about. Uh-oh. So it does get kind of wild. Okay, now that topic was a little bit advanced, but it was actually geared for those people that were ready to hear about that. And every once in a while, I do these astrology topics just for that reason. So thank you for bearing with me. Let's go to the phones right now. We have a full board. Dan is a first-time caller, a Scorpio on line two. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Did you understand that topic?
Kind of. I'm just starting out, but I sent for the starter package already. And a lot of that is true about my home and, you know, about getting into the houses where if you got problems at home and stuff.
Yeah.
I can relate to that.
Sometimes it lasts for years, doesn't it?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, you know, Dan, that's pretty good. I salute you because before I got my chart, if somebody talked to me about astrology, then I was lost. I was totally lost. Dan, what can I do for you today, guy?
I'm mostly interested in love relationship right now.
Love relationships. Okay. Are you seeing anybody?
I'm starting to. I found out she's Pisces, but I just went off a relationship a few years ago, and I haven't seen anybody since. So I'm just kind of curious, because I just get, like, in these situations where I just get totally want to be with somebody, you know, and then all of a sudden it'll just go away, so I don't know where I'm at. You know,
you mean
like
you feel like you're being some games are being played with you here?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, you know, Dan, you know, I'll tell you, guy, are you sitting down? You know, you have a lot to learn from women in this lifetime. You have the chart of a classic woman from a past life, a very frustrated woman. You have Venus in Libra, square Saturn in Capricorn. So let me tell you, you might have shed a couple tears in your life over relationships, or at least wanted to. When you have a chart like this, there's a lot of karma, which means there's a lot of growth, and oftentimes, unfortunately, it's through suffering. So the good thing is that this year you're shown better relationships, but the strange thing is that it always seems to be a catch-22. Some of us, like you and me, I have Venus square Neptune, you have Venus square Saturn, so we're close, because I've been a woman too. What we're dealing with here is learning about life from the woman's point of view. It's real important you try to see life through their perspective, because one of your problems may be that it's either you're either impatient or too frustrated or too hormonal to be able to see things from their perspective sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
So that's one major lesson. The other thing is that I do think your relationships are much improved, and we can see either this one improving or some new people coming into your life almost imminent, okay?
Okay.
Good luck, guy.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, isn't this fun? Let's go to another caller. On line 3, Lori is a Pisces Gemini rising. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
What can I do for you today?
Well, this seems to be a period of tremendous change, to the point where my husband and I are both thinking about leaving Los Angeles. And I have mixed feelings about it. I know that there are times in your life when things do seem like they're in upheaval. Home, all kinds of things are sort of up in the air, if that makes sense. And I don't know what's coming next, except a strong feeling that it's almost a whole new period of my life.
Lori, you know what's funny about today's show and your life is that you're Gemini rising, so Capricorn and Aquarius are the signs that rule travel. And with Saturn and Uranus and Neptune now in Capricorn, but headed for Aquarius, you could spend this whole latter part of your life, we're talking 20 to 50 years here, moving around the whole world, you know? So this little symptom you have of leaving Los Angeles, it kind of reminds me of what my grandfather probably thought in Russia before he decided to come to St. Louis, Missouri. So usually when we deal with transits in the fourth house, that it has to do with changing residence and moving home. But when it's transits with the eighth and ninth, especially a lot of the Taurus rising, Gemini rising, and Cancer rising people, wow, talk about outward mobility that's a worldwide mobility. They're all feeling that bug, that travel bug. Okay?
Yeah.
So good luck.
Okay, thanks so much.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to a friendly Leo, hopefully, on line 5. Lisa with Cancer rising. Hi.
Hi, I'm friendly today.
Okay.
I just want a general scan.
You do? Well, are you living at home again, or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And are you feeling happy getting along with everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, frankly, your chart has been lit up this month. These Aries transits, you do have Saturn in Capricorn at 12, and Saturn's been sitting right on your Saturn. So this month has probably been one of the more intense months of your whole life.
It has.
Because this is where Saturn was when you were born.
Uh-huh.
So in the Saturn return cycle, we do experience the same pain that the baby experiences at birth.
Wow.
But it's not exactly the same pain, but it's a similar type shock as to revelation and reality. So if you wondered what it was like back in 1960 when you were born, you're there. Saturn's back after all these years. And I remember 1960. I caught a BB ricochet in the eye and was blinded for 3 weeks, so I found out what it was like to be blind. That's why I relate to the blind people and support the junior blind so much, and love the junior blind especially very much, and also why you find out in life that things are meant to be taken one day at a time and then let go of and rebounded from if they're not good for you. Okay?
Great.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Is that right, Paige?
Yeah.
It is? Are you having a good time? Can you hear yourself on the headphones?
Yeah.
Now, you're 15 years old?
Yes.
What's your sun sign?
Virgo.
Do you know what your rising is?
I don't.
How about your moon?
Pisces.
You're a Virgo with a Pisces moon, and you're sitting here all alone with Farley Malaris. We're sitting in the middle of this huge, universal, cosmic ball. Can you feel it?
Yeah.
We're in the middle of this massive vortex. Are you with me every day at 12 noon?
I can't.
You can't. But when you can catch the show, you get excited, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Paige, you know I love you almost more than anybody in the whole world.
Thank you, Farley.
Is that embarrassing?
No.
You know, we have this on tape. We have a record of it now.
Thank you.
Isn't that funny that I heard a song once that went Pisces, Virgo, Rising, and you're Virgo, Pisces, Moon, so that's kind of funny. You didn't know I was going to put you on the mic, did you?
No.
Are you mad at me?
No.
It's funny to hear yourself in the headphones. Paige is really reserved right now. Usually she's jumping up and down and kicking her heels, but okay, you want to go back?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for coming, Paige.
You're welcome.
Bye, everybody. See you real soon. Weekdays on KFOX at 12 noon. Have a great life. Bye.